Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been studying together from the general epistles, that section of the scripture, which includes the book of James, the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Jude. Now, these seven books are books that sometimes Christians don't want to especially read or study. And the reason is because they raise some questions, very important questions in the Christian life, but some Christians don't want to have questions raised concerning them. And so these books make some Christians feel very uncomfortable. They don't want to especially study them. They prefer to read the epistles of Paul, which they feel are more comforting, perhaps, for them. So once people get saved, then there's going to come a time when they need to study the nature of the Christian life and even the proofs of real salvation. That's what these books are dealing with. These seven books are especially dealing with the proofs of real salvation. When a person professes to be saved, but has no proof whatsoever in his life, James and these other books are simply pointing out he may not really possess salvation. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again. I don't want to make anyone doubt their salvation. But I want to say that salvation is built upon a firm faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. Even a small child can have this firm faith in Jesus as their Savior from sin. But they must understand the truth that they're sinners, they come to God as sinners, and by the grace of God, their sins are forgiven as they have faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So that is really true salvation. Sometimes people make very shallow decisions, and these decisions are not really faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. They simply have raised their hand, they've gone forward, perhaps someone had them pray some prayer, but in their hearts they have never truly trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Now in our study, we've already finished the book of James, we finished the book of 1 Peter, and now we have come to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is the way it reads, beginning with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write into you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that thereof shall be burned up. I want to stop our reading right there. Now this has to do with the timing of the coming of the Lord. And I pointed out in our last lesson very, very briefly that this is one of the doctrines that many people will deny or seek to change. They find it very difficult to believe, for instance, that there could be a rapture, the rapture spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 12 to 17, where he speaks of the fact that the Lord will come, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He uses words and phrases like this. But they find this very difficult to believe. It has been now 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus died on the cross, nearly 2,000 years, and still the Lord Jesus has not yet come. This promise was given. The Apostle Paul believed it could have been in his day. We do believe, of course, in the imminent return of Christ. And this term simply means that he could come at any time. He could come today, he could come tomorrow, he could come in 100 years, but he could come at any time. And so the Apostle Paul believed, even in his day, the Lord Jesus might come. He could come, but he didn't. So now nearly 2,000 years has passed, and he still hasn't come. We need to think in terms of God himself. This phrase that's used is a very, very important phrase. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The coming of the Lord will come when God has been satisfied that his work has been completed. Now, we don't know when this is going to be. We don't know how this is going to be. Perhaps it's completed already, and even today the Lord could come. Even as you listen to this broadcast, the Lord could come, and you would be caught up if you're a believer. You'll be caught up with him in the rapture. So we don't know when this is going to be. But the Lord himself does not deal with simply days or years. In other words, eternity is in God's mind. And so his plans are that Jesus could come when he is satisfied that his work has been completed. Now, perhaps his work has been completed. Paul was thinking even in his day, in reaching Asia and Eastern Europe, that perhaps that was a completion of the work of God. When you study 1 Thessalonians, that seems to be the idea, that that could be the completion. But in God's mind, it was not. The rest of the Roman Empire, other parts of the world, had to be reached with the gospel. And this has been true through the ages. And I want to remind you, there are still hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands and thousands, of unreached peoples in the world. Tribal peoples in Africa, in South America, in Asia, in various parts of the world. People who've never been reached with the Word of God, who have never seen a Bible, who have never had the Bible translated into their own language. Now, we don't know how much God wants to complete, but we do know that God's timing is in his hands, not in our hands. And I want to simply say that we Christians, therefore, need to be very patient with God. We don't become impatient with God. We are very, very patient with God. And so in that day, there were people who were becoming impatient, even the Corinthians. And the book of Corinthians, of course, was written in about 54 A.D., but even the Corinthians were very impatient with God. This is just 24 years after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and went back to heaven again, just 24 years later. Now they're becoming very impatient, and people today are also very impatient. Now, I want to especially point out that this is one of the clever ways that Satan attacks the doctrines of God. In order to make people doubt, he puts his doubt in their minds. Is it really possible that Jesus will not come again? So he puts doubts in their minds. And then people begin to listen to false teaching. The Bible speaks of people with itching ears. People are not satisfied just to listen to the truth, but their ears are itching to hear other teachings. And so whatever teaching they hear on television, on the radio, maybe in churches they visit or places where they visit, these people are listening to other teachings. And so it's very easy for Satan to deceive them, to put doubts in their minds, and to cause them to turn to false teaching. So we have to be very careful to guard the truth that God has given. Now, I want to say very frankly, I don't always understand all of the truth, and we don't always understand all of the truth. But we believe in this passage that God is in control of everything, and God in his time will bring all the promises to pass. So if Jesus does not come again during my lifetime, or during your lifetime, as the case might be, some of you may be very young, this does not mean he's not coming. It simply means it is not yet God's time. That's what he's saying in this passage of Scripture. Now, I want to begin the next section, and perhaps we'll finish it in the next lesson. But I want to begin the next section, and I want to begin with verse 11. Verse 11. And I'll just read a portion of this, and we'll barely touch on it, and then we'll come back to it in the next lesson. Seeing that all these things shall be evolved. This is chapter 3 now of 2 Peter, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I want to stop our reading right there. And I want to note that we have admonitions concerning us. Whether or not the Lord is coming very soon, or whether he's going to come in 100 years or whenever, we are to be the people that God wants us to be. Now, the name of this section, this is the last major section. It began with chapter 3, verse 1, and goes down to verse 16. But the name of this section that I have selected is The Value of Standing Fast in the True Knowledge of God. In other words, people are asking the question, well, if God does not fulfill his promises so that I can see them, if he does not fulfill his promises in my day, then how can I stand fast in the Lord? How can I perfectly trust him? No, we entrust our lives completely to the Lord. We entrust our lives to him without doubt, without fear, without any cause for concern. We absolutely trust him in the way he does things and in his timing. And so we Christians are still to be faithful, even though the coming of the Lord might be some distance away. Now, I want to emphasize again, we believe in the imminent return of the Lord. And that is simply, he can come at any time. There's no major event that has to happen before he would come. But with this goes the idea that the timing is still in the hands of the Lord. And so does this excuse us as Christians? If Jesus does not come in my day, for instance, if he permits me to go through some terrible suffering for his sake, or something like this, and does not release me from that suffering, does this mean that I should despair and give up? In other words, God is not going to fulfill his promises. No, God will fulfill his promises, but it may not be in my day. Now, let me go back just for a minute, and let's look at the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. When you study 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was about to die in the Roman prison. How much easier it would have been for him from a human standpoint if Jesus had come, released him from that prison, kept him from that beheading in the Roman prison, because he was going to be beheaded for the sake of Christ. How much easier it would have been for him if Jesus had simply come, released him from all of this, and taken him up into glory. The Apostle Peter would have been in the same position, where he speaks in 2 Peter of his soon demise, the fact that he's going to die very soon. The day of his death is coming very soon, and he's saying goodbye to these ones to whom he is writing. And again, in his life, how much easier it would have been if Jesus had come and released him from all of this. He would not have had to go through this at all. No, Jesus did not choose to come. But the thing that strikes me is this. These men remain faithful to the Lord. Their faith remains sure. If Jesus did not come in my day, he still is going to come. I can still teach this teaching. He will come in his good time, even if he does not come in my day. And I'm willing to go through my life. I'm willing to have my life ended by, in Peter's case, by perhaps by crucifixion, or in Paul's case, by beheading. I'm willing to have my life ended, but I still stand firm in my faith. Now, in these last few moments, let me just begin the last part of this and some of the exhortations that are mentioned here. And let's begin with verse 14. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given him, hath written unto you. So this is some of the teaching which we have. We're going to come down another lesson to the last exhortations before we begin the book of 1 John. The last exhortations that he gives. And let me just read a couple of these verses to you, down verse 17. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, These exhortations are very, very important for us. Now, I want to go back just for a moment, and then I'm going to have to stop. Back to verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought ye to be? So our concentration today is not just questioning God, not just having fears and doubts concerning the promises of God. Our problem today and our concentration today is to be upon the manner of our lives, whether our lives are pleasing to God. Whenever we do face Him, whenever He does come, our lives are to be concentrated upon approval, the approval of God, and being accepted by Him. Now we know, of course, that when we die, in our spirit, in our soul, we go to be with the Lord Jesus. Our body does not go there. But in our spirit and soul, we go to be with the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us this very wonderful promise in verse 8. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we don't need to doubt this. But this resurrection is going to come in God's good time. And so our concentration is not to be upon questioning God. Our concentration is to be upon living to the glory and the praise of God and being acceptable to Him. And this is my prayer for each of you as we conclude this study of the book of 2 Peter. Now just briefly touch on the last two verses of this study in the next lesson, and then we're going to move into 1 John. But my prayer for you is that you might stand fast in your faith, and not be wavering at all in your faith, not listening to any false teaching, but standing fast in your faith and going on for the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless you, each one.